with different folks. I'm so glad that you're able to be here today. Fred, it's good to have you. That was Fred, right? Good to have you with us this morning. And he works over at the hospital, and he's here for a short period of time. And we're so glad that you made it important to come to church. And so many people, they don't try to find a good church. We thank you for that. It's a good example for us to be able to follow as well. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. When you get there, go ahead and stand with me. First Corinthians chapter number 1. Many of you know the world that we live in today is a far cry from what God intended for it to be. And even our country is a far cry from what our founding fathers intended. We may talk about that a little bit next week as we have a patriotic Sunday. We're going to look at some things here in the Bible, though, and I believe the root cause is not necessarily always on everybody else. I think sometimes we've got to look inward as God's people, because God has entrusted us, as he told Peter, he entrusted him with the keys of the kingdom of heaven, meaning that we've got the opportunity and the responsibility to go share the gospel with everybody we can. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse 18. Here, Paul is trying to help the church at Corinth. He says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but in us which are saved, it is the power of God." The world doesn't understand why we do the things that we do. They never will. They have a natural mind. The Bible says that in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. And a matter of fact, when we preach the Word of God and somebody stands behind a pulpit, and to the world, they may see see a preacher as someone who's standing up there and screaming, hollering, and shouting, and getting all red in the face, and spitting and slobbering everywhere, this and that and the other. They don't always understand it. Like, what's he up there yelling about? Why is he saying the same thing again? For them, it's foolishness. But unto us that are saved, we understand that the Word of God, the preaching of the cross, is the power of God. And the preaching of the Bible is for us to be able to learn what God would have for us so that we can be able to live our lives for him in a better way. Look at verse number 21, all the way down to the a couple of verses down. "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God." Then notice what he says. "It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." It doesn't say it pleased God by the foolishness of the song service. It doesn't say it pleased God by the concert that the church up the road was having. It doesn't say that. It says it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. One of the things, take your Bibles and flip over to 2 Timothy. It's to the right. 2 Timothy. One of the things I've said regularly, and I even talk with my kids about it often, and it's the fact that I love preaching. I love listening to preaching. I love hearing preaching. I love preaching myself. But when I go to church, I want to go to church and I want to hear the preaching of the Word of God. I understand there's some churches that have testimonial services, and some churches they'll have a singspiration service. And we have a cantata that we do there in December. That's probably the only service throughout the year we're not going to have actual preaching. But I believe that if we're going to have church, we ought to have preaching from the Word of God. Because we need the Word of God. Here Paul writes his final letter in 2 Timothy. And here he's a dying man. In chapter number 4, and verse number 2, well, look at verse number 1. Here he says, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word." That's going to be the title of the message this morning, is preach the word. Preach the word. This is what he's telling Timothy, a dying man, to a young preacher who he has trained, who he has taught, who he has discipled. He's giving him these final words of advice, and one of the final things that he reminds him of and tells him is to preach the word. He says, "Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the truths of the Word of God. Help us this morning to understand the importance of preaching and the premium that your Word puts on the preaching of the Word of God. We look at Jesus Christ and His ministry. He stood up and He taught the Word of God, but He also preached the Word of God. He preached, repent and be baptized. He trained the disciples to do the very same thing. And on the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up and preached, repent and be baptized. We know that preaching is all throughout the Word of God. But Lord, preaching is lacking today in our society. And I believe many of the moral ills that we have in society are due to a lack of preaching. Help us, Lord, to understand what you'd have for us this morning. Use us, guide us. We ask these things in your name. We pray. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. Here again in 2 Timothy, Paul has given some final words to his young preacher, Timothy, a young man of God. He's getting started out. Timothy had pastored the church there at Ephesus. He was taught, he was trained, he was raised up in a home where his dad was lost, but his mother was saved and his grandmother was saved. And so his grandmother and his mother taught him the ways of God, even though he did not have a godly father figure. He had a mom and he had a grandma that taught him in the things of God. And then Paul, when Paul came to the town they were in, Paul was able to take him under his wing. He had gotten saved at an early age, the Bible tells us that. From back in chapter number 3, verse 14 and 15. That from a child he had known the Holy Scriptures that were able to make thee wise unto salvation. He had gotten saved at a young age. And he had learned the things that God had for him. But here at the end of his life, Timothy is a man of God and he's a preacher. And Paul was giving him the final charge to preach the Word. Now listen, God's Word puts a high premium on preaching. Today, preaching is not popular. We live in a society today where everything is popular except for the preaching of the Word of God. You look around the church and we have empty seats. Church attendance is not popular. People would rather watch something on television or they'd rather watch a service online. COVID really destroyed a lot of church attendance. People got accustomed to just doing it at home in the leisure of their own clothes. But there's nothing that compares to being able to come to the house of God, being able to fellowship with God's people, being able to get some encouragement from other believers in the faith, being able to talk to one another and see some struggles that others may be going through and be able to get that encouragement and that help so that we can be able to go a little bit extra in our walk with God. But preaching today is not popular. The Bible says in just a few books earlier here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 20, The word of God tells us, despise not prophesying. And that literally means don't turn a despiteful eye toward the preaching of the Word of God. And there's a lot of people today who despise the preaching of God's Word. There's people today who will not come to church because they don't want the man of God to preach on their sin. They despise the preaching of the Word of God. The Bible tells us, and we read it here in verse number 3 in 2 Timothy chapter 4, that the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And we live in a day and age today where people do not want to endure the truth of the Word of God. The book of Isaiah even tells us that truth is fallen in the streets. The Bible even tells us over in Revelation chapter number 3 that in the Laodicean church age, that Jesus Christ is on the outside of the church knocking, trying to get into the church house. Because people have gotten so accustomed to going through the ritual and the tradition of a church service and a church schedule that we've scheduled everything about the Spirit of God being outside of the church. We operate on our schedule rather than on the Holy Spirit's schedule, is what I'm trying to say. Our society, we know, is in a mess today. The month that we have right now, June, is Pride Month here in America. One of the only countries that celebrate that. It's ridiculous. But I believe that the world is in the mess that it's in today is because God's people have stopped putting a priority and the premium on preaching the Word of God. You say, where do you get that from? Take your Bibles and go to 1 Peter. Go to the right, a couple of books. 1 Peter. You're in 2 Timothy, you got Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, and then 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter number 4. Look at verse number 17. The Bible says, for the time has come that judgment must begin. Notice the next five words. At the house of God. Judgment's not going to begin out in the world. Judgment must begin in the house of God. God's people have got to come to the right understanding of what the Word of God tells us, that we ought to live our lives in a certain way. And judgment must come here first. The Bible says, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? You see, one of the reasons I come to church, I've come to church so I can learn what the Word of God tells me, what God tells me specifically on how I'm to live my life, how I'm to serve Him, how I am to live for Him, how I'm to raise my children for the glory of God, how I'm to love my wife and be the man that God intended for me to be. I come to church and I learn these things from the preaching of the Word of God. I come to church, I learn these things from the Sunday school hour when the Word of God is taught, and sometimes it's even preached. My youth director used to always say, with all preaching, there's teaching. With all teaching, there is preaching. Sometimes you're just going to get into the Word of God. Sometimes you've got to let her go and let it rip. Let her fly. Let it preach. Understand this. The Bible itself, you're back in 2 Timothy chapter 4. The Bible itself does not need a lot of propping up from us as servants and as God's men. The Bible just needs a lot of proclamation. You see, I'm not up here trying to prop up the Word of God in your life. The Bible doesn't need to be propped up. It just needs to be proclaimed. The Word of God just needs to be practiced. It just needs to be believed by us. We need to take what the Word of God says and apply it to our lives. Are we all paying attention right now? We need to take the Word of God and we need to apply it to our lives. You see, there's a lot of people out there that are lacing the pulpits, but I don't believe every one of them is called to preach. I've got a preacher friend of mine. As a matter of fact, he's preaching in a church right now. And his words to me, I met him 7 years ago. His words to me were, I never felt the call to preach. But the church needed a pastor, so I stepped in. He's doing what he believes God wants him to do at the time. But the Word of God tells us that we are to preach the Word of God. And I believe that there is an anointing that does come when we preach the Word of God. Some people today are in the ministry because their mom or their dad pushed them to get into the ministry. Or because their granddaddy was a preacher and their daddy was a preacher. And they got generations of preachers in their family. So they thought, well, I've got to be a preacher myself as well. Listen, I was called to preach back in 2007. I know the day that I was called to preach. I know the fire that God put into my heart. Before that, I had absolutely no desire to preach. There were a lot of people in my life that told me I needed to be a preacher. I said, no, it's not for me. It's not something I'm interested in. It's not something I'm going to follow after. And then when everybody else stopped inserting all their opinions into my life, then I began to hear the Word of God. Then I began to hear the still small voice from God Himself. Then I could listen to what God had for me. And then I surrendered to the call to preach. And then all throughout time, I told my wife, even when we first got married, I said, I have no desire to pastor a church. No desire whatsoever. So I just want to be a second man. I just want to be a helper. Well, about 8 years ago in 2017, God began to change a lot of that. I began to stir something inside my heart. I began to desire the office of a bishop. And the Bible tells us if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. I begin to desire that. And many of you know, of course, Brother Thoreau was our pastor here for the last 18 and a half years. Back in August, he retired. Now he's in evangelism. The church voted me as the next pastor. For me, that's a dream come true. I joke around with others. I say maybe somebody else's nightmare, but it's my dream come true because it's a fire that God put in my heart. It's a desire that now has come to fruition. I'll tell you this, though. If somebody is not called into the ministry, they won't last in the ministry. The Bible says back in 1 Timothy, when Paul was talking to young Timothy, in chapter 1, verse 12, it says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Listen, if God does not put you into the ministry, never once are we going to try to force these young people into the ministry. My son has been praying about what God would have him to do, and I've told him, and he'll tell you as well. He said, I'm not going to tell you what God's will for your life is other than to be faithful to God, other than to be faithful to church, be in the Word of God. So, but I've told him several times, I said, I'm not going to call you to preach. Your mama's not going to call you to preach. God has to put the fire inside of you. Because if God doesn't put the fire there, then you're not going to last in the ministry. You see, somebody who's going to preach the Word of God Look at chapter 4, verse number 2. We're in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. He says, preach the word. Then he says, be instant, in season, out of season. That means when it's popular and when it's not popular. I like to do a lot of hunting. I haven't got to hunt in the last couple of years, but this summer or this winter, I will be doing some hunting. There's a certain time where certain things are in season and they're legal. There are certain times where other things are out of season. I've got a crossbow my wife bought me. And come October, it'll be bow season. From October 1st all the way to about January 15th, it'll be bow season. I know some people just like to hunt with a rifle. Well, that's going to be just for a couple of weeks there in November. But for me, I'm going to go bow hunting because it's a longer period of time. Praise God. But there's some times where things are going to be in season. There's some times where things are going to be popular. But then there's going to be some times where preaching the Word of God is not going to be that popular. It's going to be out of season. There are going to be people who think that it's out of date, that it's old, that it's old-fashioned, that it's archaic, that it's something that doesn't need to be done anymore. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that specifically. Be instant, in season, out of season. He says in verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itch and ear. They will replace preaching the Word of God with teaching the Word of God. They'll replace the preaching and the premium that God put on that with teaching and with soft things. Verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. I was at the house yesterday doing some mowing. Brother Anthony showed up out there to grab something, and he stopped me. I was there weed eating, and you ever have that feeling that somebody's just staring at you and their presence is there? And I turn around, and there's a big guy standing. Brother Anthony said, what are you doing here? So I turned the weed eater off. We start talking a little bit. He asked if he can grab something. I told him, go ahead and get it. You know where it's at. It's over there in shop, in this corner over there. But he begins to tell me about this experience that he had just had. They had gone out to eat. And they had sat down to eat. And where they had sat down, they were at a table right next to two women who were there eating. And began talking about all these different things that were going on. They were talking about politics at one time. Then they started talking about religion. And I stopped him. I said, let me guess. They were saying a whole lot of I believe and I believe or I feel that this. There wasn't any of the whole phrase where the Word of God says. He says, no, you're exactly right. There's a lot of I believe this. I believe that. I didn't like that church because I didn't feel this. Absolutely had nothing to do with the Word of God. Had nothing to do with the preaching of the Bible. They made all the assumptions based on how they felt. Well, the Bible says in verse 4, they will turn away their ears from the truth. The truth is the Word of God. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. If the Word of God is not being preached, if it's not being proclaimed, then people will not receive truth, but rather they will be turned away unto fables. Their feelings. What they want. A story they have told themselves. What a fable is, it's a false story. A false narrative. They'll be turned away unto these stories that they've told themselves. There's a lot of people today that don't like the preaching of the Word of God. But the Bible tells us some different things about the preaching of the Bible. And I believe that the preaching of the Word of God is the most important thing that we have today, and especially for this time while we're here at church. The preaching of the Word of God is what is necessary right now. And I believe that if God's men would stand up behind the pulpit and would preach, thus saith the Lord, and would preach the Word of God and call sin what it is and quit trying to whitewash things, quit trying to sugarcoat things, quit trying to beat around the bush, and they begin to preach the Word of God the way God intended for it to be preached, I believe our world and our society wouldn't be in the mess that it's in today. I believe most of the problems that we see in our society stem from a lack of preaching of the Word of God from the pulpits across America. You see, we went through a time here in America where we had a great awakening. And we went through a time in America where we had a second great awakening. And at the center of both of those things was the premium of the preaching of the Word of God. God's Word was a high priority at that time. We need to be able to preach the Word of God without worrying about whether or not we're going to offend somebody. Let me go ahead and state this. I've never taken a dance class. Okay? I don't own a pair of ballet shoes. All right? So don't expect me to tiptoe around your sin. because I don't dance. I don't do those things. I never learned how to do those things. I was never interested in those things. We've got to get right with God, or we got to face the consequences of not being right with God. Now the question then is asked, if we don't preach the word, the command is given to preach the word of God. But the question is, if we don't preach the word of God, then what's going to happen? Well, the Bible tells us very plainly what would happen here. But I believe there's three aspects we're going to look at here. Now I want you to understand it this morning. Number one, I want you to notice that if the preaching of the Word of God is not set at a premium, is not set at a priority, if we don't preach the Word of God, but rather we stand up and give you our opinions, I believe, number one, there will be a decay in morality. We live in a society today, and you can say amen or not, it doesn't much matter. We live in a society today that is living in a decay of morality. The grotesque things that are being done, specifically this month, the debauchery of sin that is being exalted and paraded throughout the streets of our towns here in America is appalling. There are things that are going on that I believe would make Sodom and Gomorrah blush. Yes. There are things that are happening right now that it's sad to see in the glory of America and what America was intended to be. A lot of it, we may not even see the full picture of what all's happening until after this month is over. But I remember last year, right during the month of June, we were reading about, I would read in, during June, but specifically in July when all of the verdict was out. Read about these parades that were going on and these different drag queen story hours. All the different things that were happening in our cities, and they were called family-friendly events. There's nothing family-friendly about it. But we have a society that has a decay in their morality because they've stopped putting a priority on the preaching of the Word of God. You see, old-fashioned preaching will repel sin. Take your Bible, hold it here, and go back with me to Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6. It's in your Old Testament, Jeremiah chapter 6, look at verse 15, Jeremiah 6:15. The Bible says, were they ashamed when they had committed abominations? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. We live in a society today that's lost its blush. It's lost its shame. People parade around in their nakedness, and they have no shame about it. As a matter of fact, many of you know we were on a family vacation this week. And we're going to be leaving to finish up our vacation. We came back for the weekend for church. Yesterday, we were with family. We're getting ready. We're doing a fish fry. And right before we left the campsite, and it's 4 hours away, on the weekends, the campsite that we stay at, they have a little ministry gathering at the tabernacle that's there. And there's a tabernacle right at one of the campsites right beside the giant playground they have. And they were going around, passing around flyers, inviting everybody that was camping to their services. And the guy handed me a flyer, and I told him, I said, I'm a pastor. As a matter of fact, we're driving back to Oklahoma here in just a little bit. We're going to go to the church where our pastor at. He said, oh, okay, well, praise the Lord for that. We're just going out inviting everybody, letting them know they can show up in their shorts or their bathing suits. It doesn't matter. We want them all there. I understand the idea of being informal because of where they're at. Nobody's going to wear a suit while they're out camping, okay? I'm not going to fish in a shirt and tie, okay? I'm going to put my waders on. I'm going to get out in the water. I'm going to go fishing. But to go out and to promote the idea that you want people to show up to church in their swimsuits, there's something wrong with that. There's a decay in morality because of the lack of the preaching of the Word of God. People have lost their blush. Notice, neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. Notice, where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. You see, we live in a society today that is living in their abomination. They're not ashamed of it. They've lost their blush. They're not asking for the old paths. They're not paying attention to the old-fashioned preaching of the Word of God. Because in the old paths, this is where is the good way. This is where we can walk. This is where we're going to find rest for our souls, the Bible says. It's very plain and it's very clear. But the world's not asking. By the way, why do you have to ask for something? Because it's not readily available. You go to a restaurant, you ask for napkins because they're stingy and they only give you one per person, right? So you need some extra napkins. please, I need some napkins. Or you go to a restaurant and you ask for a refill because they're not paying attention to what's going on and they're not refilling your drink. So you ask, right? Because something is not readily available. The reason today you have to ask for the old paths, you have to ask for the old time way, you've got to ask for the preaching of the Word of God is because it's not readily available in our churches. It's got to be asked for. I believe today, because men have stopped preaching the Word of God, I believe we have seen a decay in morality. You see, we used to live in a world where the man of God would get up and preach the Word of God, and they'd preach that men should look like men and that women should look like women, right? But now we have everybody running around today, and you got men that are wearing dresses, and you got women that are running around in everything they want to wear. Men are trying to look like women and women are trying to look like men. They're trying to change their roles. We got this gender identity politics that's going on in society, training children from the age of K2 and three years old and even in kindergarten that if they feel a little bit like they're out of place or that they shouldn't be a boy or they shouldn't be a girl, that it's whatever they feel like being that day. I've got a niece of mine that went to school in Arkansas. It's a conservative state. And they had what was called furries in their school. You ever heard of that term? We got someone here that may not have ever heard of that term. Some of you kids know about it. They have these people that are self-identifying as animals. They have this one girl that she went to class with and she wore cat ears and she wore a cat tail. And she self-identified as a cat and she meowed when the teacher would talk to her. That's the only way she would respond. It had gotten to the point to where they set up a litter box in the corner of the classroom and she would go do her business in the litter box. This is going on in our public schools. For real. I wouldn't have believed it if she hadn't said verbatim, she watched it unfold. Sickening. There's a decay in morality. The old-fashioned preaching where the Word of God tells us that a man ought to live like a man and a man ought to work for his living or he's worse than an infidel, the Bible says. Amen. We've created a society where everyone says, no, you ought to depend on the government and everything's going to work itself out and you just go and you live your life and you take all your energy and do whatever else you want to do and let the government take care of you. God never intended for the government to take care of us. God intended for us to go out and to work. The Bible says, by the way, that's part of the sin curse and part of the punishment of man, that man is to work by the sweat of his brow, the Bible says. Now listen, I hate sweating just as much as the next person does. But when I'm sweating, I know I'm working. I'm doing what God told me to do. See, there's a lot of people who won't preach the Word of God because they're afraid to tick somebody off. They're afraid of not being able to have a crowd in church. They don't like hard preach. Some people come to church, they don't like hard preaching from the Word of God. It's because our morals have decayed. We began to allow the television to tell us what's right and wrong. We began to allow the TV programs to tell us what's right and what's wrong. We began to allow ourselves to tell everybody else to speak into our lives rather than letting the Word of God tell us what is right and what is wrong. Listen, you've heard me say it many times before. I'm not going to give you my opinion. I'm going to give you the Word of God. Okay? I would tell these teenagers and the young people in our Christian school regularly. They know this. Opinions are like armpits. Everybody's got a couple and most of them stink. Our opinions don't amount to a hill of beans. Our opinions won't get us anywhere. But the truth of the Word of God is what we ought to build our lives on. The truth of the Word of God. You see, as long as you generalize sin, you can build a crowd. And in today's society, as long as we don't preach on specific things, if we don't preach against homosexuality, or we don't preach against certain things that the Word of God tells, we don't preach against alcohol, and we don't preach against drugs, and we don't preach against marijuana, we don't preach against these things, and we don't name sin, then we can draw a crowd. But we begin to name specific things according to the Word of God, people get offended. People get offended. Because once you begin to categorize sin, people will do one of two things. They'll receive it or they'll reject it. They'll either get right or they'll get offended. One or the other. I heard a preacher years ago, and I've got this written down. Heard a preacher years ago make this statement. I wrote it down in my Bible, and I vowed if God ever called me to preach, I was gonna live according to that as well. He made this statement. He said, if you ain't embarrassed to live in sin, then the man of God shouldn't be ashamed to preach against it. Amen. If we ain't ashamed to live in the sin that we're living in, then the man of God should not be ashamed to preach the Word of God boldly and call sin what it is. I heard another preacher say this. He said, it's taken hard preaching like what we get around here just to get us halfway right with God. I think about that. Because there are certain things every one of us hold on to in our lives. So I just don't want to give that up, no matter what he says. Yeah? It's taking hard preaching just to get us halfway right with God. Charles Finney, one of the great evangelists back during the Second Great Awakening, some of you may be familiar with him. He made this statement. It's a very lengthy one. Let me read it to you. He said, if there is a decay in conscience, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the public press lacks moral discrimination, then the pulpit is responsible for it. If the church is degenerate and worldly, then the pulpit is responsible for it. If the world loses its interest in religion, the pulpit is responsible for it. If Satan rules in our halls of legislation, the pulpit is responsible for it. If our politics become so corrupt that the very foundations of our government are ready to fall away, and by the way, we're almost there, the pulpit is responsible for it. Let us not ignore this fact, my dear brethren, but let us lay it to heart. Be thoroughly awake to our responsibility in respect to the morals of this nation. Charles Finney said that when he was preaching to a bunch of preachers during the Great Awakening, the Second Great Awakening. He said, our pulpit is responsible for the decay that is happening in our society. The Bible says in 1 Peter, and I read it to you a minute ago, 4:17, judgment must begin at the house of God. You see, when there's a decay in morality, that decay will be sure. Mark it down. As sure as the sun rises in the east and it sets in the west, there is the decay that will happen if the preaching of the Word of God ceases. Decay will fill our churches. Because what does not get preached on or preached against will begin to get practiced. We have this idea in our minds that if the man of God doesn't say something, then it must not be wrong. Okay? I've grown up in church. I know the mentality. Because I've had the mentality. I made it to another service and he didn't say anything about that, so it must not be wrong. We were taught leadership principles when I was in high school. And one of the leadership principles that we were taught was silence can mean approval. When you are silent on a fact, it can mean your approval. There's a philosophy that's going around today in many of the workplaces. When I had a second job over at Lowe's, they had a policy that they would use in reference to different discrimination that would happen in the workplace. It was see something, say something. Why? Because if you're silent about the matter, then you are approving of the matter. Correct? So you see something, you say something. So that truth reigns true here in our lives as well. That if we're not preaching the Word of God, and we're not naming sin, we're not calling things what they are biblically, again, not my opinion, but what the Word of God says, silence can mean approval. A lot of people who won't preach the Word of God because they're afraid of hurting somebody's feelings. And won't preach the Word of God because they're afraid somebody's going to stop tithing. I made a decision a long time ago that this church is God's church, not mine. Amen. The Lord said, I will build my church. I'm not trying to build the church. God's going to build His church. I'm going to go out and try to reach people for the cause of Christ. Go out trying to win souls and lead people to Jesus Christ. And God will build His church. We do our part. God does His part. But this is God's church. He's responsible for the building of it. And as long as we preach the Word of God, I'm not afraid to have somebody in to preach the Word of God. We've got Brother Tony Hudson's going to be coming in September. Brother Roberto's been listening to several of his messages. He preached at a lot of camp meetings, different things. He looked at me and said, Brother, you think he's going to run somebody off? I said, Brother, he's just going to preach the Word of God. Our people can handle it. They've heard hard preaching before. It's not a problem. Not a problem at all. He's going to come. He's going to preach the Word of God. We're not afraid to have certain people in because of what people might say about it. We're going to allow God's Word to be spoken. The decay is going to be sure. It's going to happen. You see, Naomi and Elimelech and the two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, back in the book of Ruth, they left Bethlehem, Judah, the house of bread, and they went down to the city of Moab. Well, their sons began to marry Moabitess women. Then they died. Her husband Elimelech died. And Naomi, while she was there, she began to practice the things of the Moabites. They were there for about 10 years. She got bitter and she got mad at God. She came back from Moab and went back to Bethlehem, Judah, and she was never the same again. You say, why was she not the same? Because she left where God intended for her to be with her family and she went to the world. And the decay was sure it was going to happen. You give it time, time will always tell. The decay is not just sure, the decay is also swift. It does not take long for you and me to get in the flesh. If you don't believe it, then after we leave here, go to Walmart. You'll get in the flesh real quick. Go to this stop sign right here at Electric and try to get out. Praise God. It's rush hour. Yeah. You'll get in the flesh real quick. The decay is swift. It never ceases to amaze me. We go to church camp, and we'll go to youth conference, we'll have revivals, we'll have a missions conference. We'll allow God to work in our hearts and in our lives, and then just a couple of weeks later, we're back into a lot of the same habits we were doing before. Why? Because we let our guard down. The decay was swift. It began to creep in. We were, at one point, submerged into the Word of God, and then we began to slowly drift away from that. The decay is swift, but also understand this morning that the decay is scriptural. God said it would happen. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 13, if you'll put that up there, I'll read it to you. Matthew 5, 13, it says, if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted, it is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. He says, if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? You can't go and re-salt salt. It's not possible. You can't go and re-Christian a Christian. We're called the salt of the earth. Okay? If we've lost our savor, if we've lost our testimony, if we've lost our influence, it's hard to get that back. Near difficult. How can we make sure that we have the right kind of salt? Well, I was taught a long time ago, if you put salt in a wound, it's going to sting. Any of y'all ever gotten those canker sores in your mouth? And then you eat some salty fries, and it lights your lips and your cheeks on fire. As a teenager, and it's always been my whole life, I ate a lot of candy, okay? I've gotten a lot of sores in my mouth from excessive candy, excessive sugar. But I've had those, and I've taken, and I'll pour some salt on the plate. I'll lick my finger and dip my finger in salt. And I'll take my finger inside my mouth and stick it right on that salt. Have you ever done that? I don't advise it. It doesn't feel good. It hurts. It's very painful. But I'd stick it right on there. And then I got the voice of my mother going through my head. If it's stinging, then it's working. It's healing it. Right? Remember that? Some of you older ones may remember the old Bactine spray. The antiseptic stuff. You spray it on there. Ah! I'm dying. If it's stinging, it's doing its job. Okay. When salt gets in a wound, it stings. You know, when somebody preaches the Word of God and sometimes the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God gets right into the heart, sometimes it hurts a little bit. Sometimes it stings a little bit. Listen, we're not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. We're not trying to hurt anybody. But the fact of the matter is, if you're living in sin and the Word of God is preached and you begin to get convicted, it's going to sting a little bit. You know what that is? That's the Holy Spirit trying to get that right. Because God loves you too much to leave you like He found you. And I love you too much not to preach on sin. When salt gets in a wound, it stings. But also something else I've learned about salt. I used to work at a restaurant and we used to cook in the back. And there were many times where we'd add different seasonings, and sometimes you would take the pan off the stove and you would add the seasonings right there, but other times you would grab it because the stove was full and you were in a mad rush. And you'd grab the pinch of salt and you'd pour it on. And there are many times where I've taken salt and I poured it onto the plate or onto the skillet. And it, of course, it missed the skillet as you're dropping because you're dropping as you come across. And it lands over the open flame and it just fires up. That salt will spark in the fire. You see, sometimes in your Christian life, you're going to go through some fiery trials and you ought to shine forth for the cause of Christ. If we've got a testimony like we should. We ought to shine. We ought to spark in the fire. There are some people who come to church, the preaching of the Word of God is given, and they'll make the statements like these. Well, I just haven't been convicted about that yet. Well, let me go ahead and make this statement. Not being convicted is not a cop-out for a license to sin. Just because you haven't been convicted by the truth does not negate the fact that it's still truth and you ought to do it. Amen. Sometimes we do right because it's the right thing to do. Then later on, we learn why it's the right thing to do. Obedience and knowledge. John chapter 7, verse number 17. Write it down. Look it up later. There are some people who will use the excuse, well, I know you got to get out there and you got to make a living, so I've got to do this. I've got to work at this place that sells alcohol. The Bible says, woe to him that giveth his neighbor to drink. That's what the Bible says in Proverbs. Well, I got to make a living. Well, John R. Rice. A great preacher back in the day. He was preaching in North Carolina. Anybody ever been to North Carolina? Got a couple. North Carolina is known as tobacco country. They actually have a city, a town over there called Tobaccoville. They actually have a road over there called Tobacco Road. It's like they are known for growing tobacco. All right? That's just what they're known for. And he was preaching in a Sunday service down there. He was right in the center of tobacco country and he was preaching against tobacco. Preaching against the sin of tobacco. And he said, I know what you're thinking. You got to make a living. And Brother Rice said, well, that's what the prostitute who sells her body says too. John R. Rice was preaching. I'm quoting his words. After the message, he went down to the lobby. He was shaking hands like, of course, we do here. One of the tobacco farmers come out into the lobby, slips him a $100 bill, and says, here's some of that tobacco money you was preaching against. Brother John R. Rice looks at him and says, well, praise the Lord, the devil's had it long enough. He said, why'd you tell that? Because it was funny. I told you that because there used to be some preachers who weren't afraid to preach on sin no matter who it hair-lipped. It didn't matter who the person was in church. They're going to preach the Word of God no matter where they were because it's truth. You see, the Bible doesn't say anything about smoking. The Bible does say that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost of God. I told my son this the other night. He was asking me some questions. I said, listen, if God intended for us to smoke, He'd have put a smokestack on our backs. That way we'd have an exhaust system for the smoke. God never intended for it. He just died laughing. It is what it is. Y'all didn't think it was that funny. That's okay. He's a teenager. Everything's funny to teenagers. If the preaching of the Word of God is not being done, there will be a decay in morality. Secondly, if the preaching of the Word of God is not done, we're told to preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort. By the way, with all long-suffering and doctrine. The word long-suffering means patience. Okay? So sometimes when the Word of God is being preached, sometimes we got to preach with patience. I'm going to close this door. It's bugging me. Sometimes when the Word of God is preached, Sometimes we got to preach it regularly and we got to preach it often. And sometimes you may get a little upset that the man of God is preaching the same thing over and over again. Well, sometimes it's got to be preached with long suffering. Both from the preacher and the pew. Long suffering. Sometimes you got to have a little bit of patience. Remember old Paul? He was long-winded, was he not? He preached till midnight. Old Eutychus fell out of the window. Yeah, Eutychus too, if you fell out the window. I'm just saying. Sometimes preaching's got to be done with long suffering. Sometimes there's patience. Listen, there's going to be times where, yes, we're going to unload the truck and we're going to give you all the Word of God and what the Word of God says about a matter. But if somebody, and I've made this open invitation often, if somebody doesn't understand something, my office door is always open. I'd love to take the time to disciple you and show you exactly what the Word of God says and explain it to you. Take all the time necessary for that. We're going to be very long-suffering because that's what God tells us to do. Preach the Word with all long-suffering and the next word's doctrine. Okay? That's 2 Timothy 4:2. Put that one up there. With all long-suffering and doctrine. That means that I'm not giving you my opinions. Anybody's going to get them and preach the Word of God. We're not giving you our opinion. We're giving you the Word of God. And we're going to back it up with doctrine. You say, well, what do you mean? In 2 Timothy chapter, if you're still there, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Go back to chapter number 3, verse number 16. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. That's the same doctrine that's mentioned in chapter 4, verse number 2. Okay? Because doctrine is what is right. And then it's given for reproof. That's what is not right. Then it's given for correction. That's how to get it right. And then it's given for instruction in righteousness. That's how to keep it right. So the Word of God's given for that which is right, for that which is not right. That's how to get it right, and then how to keep it right. That's everything you need in your Christian life. It comes from the Word of God. We've got to give it with long-suffering and with doctrine. We're going to give it with our opinions. We're going to give it based on the Word of God. We're going to go to Scripture after Scripture. We may quote some Scripture to you. We may tell you to turn there, write it down, look it up later. We're going to give you Scripture, though, not opinions. There will be a decay in morality if the preaching is not done. Secondly, if the preaching of the Word of God is not done, secondly, deity will be mistaken. Deity will be mistaken. You see, people will begin to focus on the love of God and they'll forget about the judgment of God. Now, yes, 1 John does tell us in chapter number 4 that God is love. But God is also a consuming fire. God is a God of love. He's also a God of judgment. There's a balance with God. Because the Bible says a false balance is an abomination to the Lord. People will convince themselves that they still love God even though they never do anything for God. Well, listen here. I love my wife. I love her. Okay? I couldn't survive without my wife. Unless God intends to take one of us on home. We've asked several times, if God, if you're going to take one of us, take both of us, please. So if you hear of us dying in a fiery car accident, that's why. Because we asked to both die at the same time. But I love my wife. If I love my wife, then I'm going to want to talk to my wife. Right? I get more enjoyment talking to my wife than I do any other woman. Okay? Because I love my wife. Amen. Yes, include my daughter. I enjoy talking to my daughter too. But I'm going to talk to you about one more. Because even after you move out of the house, we're still going to be in the house together. That's how that works. If you love somebody, you're going to want to talk to them. When we were dating, and even recently, when we dated long distance. She lived here in Oklahoma and I lived there in Arkansas. We would write letters back and forth to each other. At the house, I have a box of letters from college. I still have the box. Yeah. Aw. You're all supposed to say aw, ladies. Come on. Aw. Hey, I'm just kidding. We got a box of letters. I'll open that box up. And as soon as that box opens up, I smell Clinique Happy. Because that's the perfume she wears. Because some of you ladies know when you send a note, you got to squirt that sucker down with perfume, right? Baptize that thing. And put it in an envelope and send it on its way. That way when they open it up, whoa! It's like you were right there. Praise God. There have been times where my wife would send me a letter. And I didn't just read the letter the one time. I'd read it several times. And I'd write her a letter back. And while I'm waiting for her to respond, I'm reading her letter she sent me. Yeah. You know what? God wrote us a letter. Right here. And if we love God, we won't read it. You say, but I already read it. Okay, read it again. I already read it for the day. I'll read it again. Read it again. I'm sure you missed something. I know I've missed a lot. I know every time I read it, there's something else I learn. Something else that God shows me. If you love somebody, you'll want to read the letter. If you love somebody, you'll want to study them and find out what they like and dislike. I have made it my purpose to study my wife for the rest of our lives. I'm going to learn everything I can about her. Everything. I'm going to find out what she likes. I ask her regularly, hey, do you still like this? Do you still like that? Is this still your favorite? Because, you know, every 7 years your taste buds change and every 7 minutes girls' opinions change. got one brave guy out there. Hey, man. Huh? It's okay. He's got a house full of girls. He's used to getting picked on. But if you love somebody, you're going to find out what they like and dislike. As you read God's love letter to you, the Word of God, He's going to tell you what He likes and what He dislikes. And if we love Him, we're going to want to try to please Him and do what He likes. You know, if you love somebody, you can't stop thinking about them. Me and my wife, we don't like being apart from each other. We don't like it so much that we work together. We just enjoy being around each other. And if you love somebody, you can't stop thinking about them. I wonder, how often throughout your day do you think about God? How often throughout your day do you think about your Savior? You know, the one that died on the cross for you? Jesus? How often do we think about Him? If you love somebody, I've learned in our marriage, if I love my wife, I'm going to be willing to change some things. It's where the rubber meets the road. Sometimes, in order for a relationship to grow, there's got to be some change that takes place. You see, when I was a single guy, I could just leave my dirty clothes everywhere. Nobody cared. I've got a wife now. She tends to care. Amen. If you love somebody, you'll be willing to change some things. You see, if preaching is not done, deity will be mistaken. We'll begin to live and focus on pleasing everything and everyone else other than the God that we're supposed to serve. You see, there'll be a decay in morality. Deity will be mistaken. And then lastly, there will be a danger of misleading. There'll be a danger of misleading. You see, when the Word of God is not preached, when the truth of the Bible is not proclaimed, then you begin to get into what we call relativism. Everyone wants to do what they feel is right. They want to do what they think they ought to do. Emotionalism begins to creep in. Everything's based on how you feel. This music just makes me feel so good. Okay? Well, how does the Word of God make you feel? The Word of God makes me feel convicted. But emotionalism leads to relativism. That's do whatever makes you feel good. Do what you want to do regardless of what the truth is. Because relativism operates on the idea that the truth is relative to the person receiving it. Meaning that you have your truth and I have my truth. Well, listen, that's heresy. There's one truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You say, well, how can Jesus and the Word of God be truth? Oh, I'm glad you asked. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Jesus Christ is the Word of God in the flesh. Truth is not based on how you perceive it. It's not based on what you think or what you feel. Because give it 2 minutes in a freezer and you're going to change how you feel. I'm just saying. You see, when the preaching of the Word of God is not done, intellectualism will creep in. We begin to try to theorize God outside of the equation. That's what modern science tries to do. Brother Anthony mentioned about archaeology and even historical things. They're trying to everything they can to try to disprove Christianity. And what do? They keep proving Christianity. I don't know how many of you pay attention to things that go on around the world, but just in the last several years, archaeologists have gotten access to some of the mountains of Ararat. I don't know if any of y'all have seen any of that. And they began to find petrified wood. And they believe there's an area where Noah's Ark would have landed. And there's different, through technology, it's called not sonar, which is sound navigation and rating, but LIDAR, which is light detection and ranging. And so they use light detection. It's one of the ways that they try to scale the jungles down in Brazil and in the Amazon area where man can't get into. And they try to scale the depths and the different things through LIDAR technology. Well, they've used LIDAR technology to try to scale this little mountainside where they believe it's been overgrown, and that's where they believe Noah's Ark is at. And they began to find some pretty interesting things. They found 3 levels in this structure, which is just what the Word of God said about Noah's Ark being 3 levels. They found dimensions that are very similar to Noah's Ark. Every time the world tries to do everything they can to disprove Christianity, they just find a way to prove it all over again. But there are those who try to disprove God with their mind. I read an article just this past, well, not an article, I read a headline just this past week. The man with the world's highest IQ just admitted that there is a God. Even the world's smartest man couldn't get past it. Not only that, sensationalism begins to creep in. When the Word of God is not preached and the Word of God is not proclaimed, then everybody begins to turn to all these other ways to try to draw a crowd. And they try to do these sensational things, give away these drones and give away these giant prizes and have these large events that are taking place. We don't go from one large event to another large event. Listen, we're going to come and we're going to preach the Word of God. We're going to say, thus saith the Lord. And whatever happens is going to be up to God. Amen. The preaching of the Word of God is going to be done. We're not going to drop our standards for a crowd. Our society is crumbling because God's people are satisfied with their sins. Judgment must begin in the house of God. The Bible tells us, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort. 3 things are given in this verse. 2/3 of those are negative, reproving and rebuking. Everybody likes to be exhorted. Everybody likes to be built up. Nobody likes to be corrected. Amen. You just go to your job tomorrow. Your boss begins to say something nice about your work. You begin to feel good. They begin to criticize what you've been doing wrong. And they try to correct you in that. You're going to get a little offended. Yeah. It happens. But for us, to make sure that we're preaching the Word of God, Sunday school teachers here at Cornerstone, the preachers that are here, we've got to make sure that we continue in what we've been taught. We've got to make sure that we confess Jesus Christ to this world. And we've got to make sure that we conflict with the world. I'm not supposed to agree with everything that's coming out of Hollywood. I'm not supposed to agree with everything that's coming over the television set. Amen. I know a lot of people are getting in a drama here and there, and oh no, the world's coming to an end because yada, yada, yada. And turn your news off and open your Bible. Amen. In the last days, there will be wars and rumors of wars. Okay? It's going to happen. What should that do for us? Well, quit getting tied up on the news and go soul winning and reach somebody for Jesus Christ. Amen. When we begin to see all these things escalating in society, that tells us, hey, we don't have much time left. We've got to get out there and share the gospel message with somebody. And so we've got to do our part. Stand with me with heads bowed and eyes closed. Let's make sure that we're preaching the Word of God, that we put the premium where it should go. If not, there will be a decay in morality. If not, deity will be mistaken. And if not, there's going to be a danger of misleading. One of my biggest fears, I don't want to mislead anybody away from the Word of God. Paul said it this way. He said, lest when I have preached to others that I myself should be a castaway. I don't want to mislead anybody. So to make sure that we don't do that, we're going to stand firm and strong and solely on the Word of God. If it's in the book, we're going to preach it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you.